Morning. Am I on? Wow, I was standing there enjoying the music, and all of a sudden, Wendy says, "You may be seated." I thought to myself, wow, that was quick. So, Children's Church. Thank you, Butch. You may, children may go to Children's Church, if there is any. I'm going to tie my shoe here real quick, okay? I don't want to trip on it when I walk around. So good morning, everybody. As you, probably most of you are aware, a lot of the men are up at Tadmore. Seen a little Facebook posting, I believe, from Mike. I don't know if that was this morning. In one of the sessions, a lot of men up there. Looked like an exciting time for the men. And I do pray that as they come together, that the old truths that they have, the old truths that they know, from God's word will become new truths to them, and they will take those truths and grow and get excited about what God is doing in their lives. So this morning I'm going to share with you again from 1 Thessalonians, I'm kind of excited where the Spirit has me this morning. So if I get a little bit loud, please excuse me, but we're going to look at God's Word and see what the Holy Spirit has to say. But before I begin, I'd like to just open in prayer. Father God, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together as a church family. And Lord, as we come together and we open your Word, Father, help us to draw from it the energy, the excitement, the enthusiasm, Lord, having you in our lives. And Lord, help us to take what you teach us, take what you have for us, buried deep in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, to take that light, your light, to the world outside these walls. So Father, again, as I come this morning, Father, I pray that you speak through me, that my mouth is your mouth, that my words are your words. And Father, we'll give you the glory and honor for all of it. In your name, amen. So this morning I was hoping to play a very short video. We were having a little hard time getting that video up to show you, but I want to explain a little bit of the video, and I think that will probably help track where my heart is right now. But the video is a little girl, young little girl, probably introduced to God when she was very, very young. She's very excited, enthusiastic, and when you watch our young children, they're just full of the love of God in their lives. And she's holding a little candle and she's singing the little song "This Little Light of Mine." I went blank there for a minute. "This Little Light of Mine." And then the next clip in the video, she's probably somewhere around eighth grade, seventh grade, and there's still enthusiasm in her voice. She's still excited about Jesus Christ and what he's doing, and she's singing that little song, "This Little Light of Mine." The next clip in the video is she's a teenager, maybe possibly even a college-age person, and the song has toned down. The excitement in her voice is low. She is not near as excited as she was in the past, and she doesn't really even get all the words out. This is an interesting thing that's happening in our world today, especially in our church environment. They say that 29% of young people that knew Jesus Christ when they were here, by the time they're 29 years old, no, not 29%, 58% of them at age 29 are leaving the church never to come back, never to come back. There's no excitement, there's no need for Jesus Christ anymore. They're done. They've had enough. Sad statistic, but a statistic that if you search, you will find is very prevalent in society today. Dang, I had the problems here this morning. How do you get that on? There it is. I got to pull more slack here, I think. So, There, that's better. It even looks bad, but that's okay. So anyway, so the theme here is we get enough of Jesus Christ in our lives, and it seems that we just stop. We don't desire more of Him. We don't desire to. Am I loud enough like that? We don't desire more of Him in our lives, and that can be a bad thing for us as Christians. But I want to share some stuff this morning from Scripture with you that I'm very excited about. And in Sunday school class, we talked about 1 Thessalonians. So I want to take you there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 first this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want to share some verses with you this morning that I got excited about, that I think are important in our lives. Paul, we all know Paul. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He really, truly, if you really study Scripture carefully, he was probably in line to take the number one position as a Pharisee as he grew and got older. He was zealous for God. You read Scripture, and Paul was zealous for God. He was out persecuting Christians in the name of God. Something interesting happened to him. He came in contact with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Jesus blinded him, sent him to a Gentile, which would be really, really a huge thing in Paul's life as a Jewish Pharisee, but sent him to a Gentile man. God told him that this man would share with him some things, and the scales over Paul's eyes fell, and he became almost immediately a Christian man. He is one of the authors of many of the books of the Bible, and probably a man that from Scripture we know he spent some really quiet time possibly with God Himself, with Jesus Christ. But he has an insatiable appetite for God, and you can pick that up when you read most of his letters. He doesn't seem that he can get enough of God, and he continues to encourage Christians to do the same. To go after God in an aggressive way. There is a saying that you can never have enough of a good thing. Really, that often falls short of the truth. Too much of some things is bad for us. Too much of most anything is harmful in some way. Scripture really points that out to us in our lives. Too much of most things is really harmful in some way to our lives. But I want to share with you today, and I think that's what Paul is trying to get across here to the Thessalonians. We should never get enough of God. There should never be a place in our lives as a teenager, like this young lady, where the light went out. You know, and before I even go any further, she was holding a candle. She said, "This little light of mine." Really, truly, that's not true. It's not her light. It's the light of Christ that we are to let shine, not our light. And she's singing about her little light. But it's Christ Himself who is the light to the world. He is the light, and we are to allow Him to shine, not our light, not our light. So we should never get enough of God. We should never be satisfied. We should never be satisfied. As Paul wrote in verses 1 and 10, which we'll read together, we should desire more and more. Paul urged the Thessalonians to do it more and more. He just didn't request that they walk to please God or to love God, but urged them in both verses to do so more and more. So let's read 1 Thessalonians together here this morning so you can get a feel for where I'm at and what my heart is all excited about. In verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask you and urge you." He doesn't say, you know, think about this. He says, "I urge you." He says, "I want you really to pay attention, and I urge you." When I urge somebody to do something, I'm pretty serious about it. I'm going to push you pretty hard. And he says, "I urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk, and to please God, just as you were doing." See, he says, "You're doing a pretty good job. You're doing it." He says that you do so, what? More and more. More and more. See, I think we come to a point in our lives as Christians sometimes, and I know this has happened to me. I've got enough. I don't need any more. I'm good. I understand your word, God. I understand who you are, and I have a relationship with you. I don't need no more. But see, I think Paul is saying more and more. We need to seek God more and more in our lives. And I'm going to share some other things from Exodus with you here later that I think really says that in a really dramatic way. But he says that you do so more and more. He goes on with some simple instructions for them. But he says that you do so more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. He says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. Our sanctification is our progression toward likeness of Jesus Christ, likeness of God. He says, I want you to do it more and more because I want you to walk that ladder of sanctification. I want you to become more Christ-like in your life, and I want my light to shine, not your light, but my light to shine. And that's really what Paul's trying to say to them. He goes on with some more instruction, but I'm going to pick you back up in verse 9. He says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. How are we taught by God to love one another? How does that happen? How does God teach us? God teaches us through His Word, but He teaches us through the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, has entered our lives, our hearts. He has made us a new creation in Christ, and He teaches us to love. And He does that over and over again, and He grows us in that. But listen, Paul says, you know what? He says, you have no need to anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. In fact, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia, okay? He says, but, we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. You know, love is a funny thing. When I met Dixie, I loved her. As we've grown together almost 40 years now, my love for her, it's not even close to what it was. I didn't understand what love was. But today, I understand what my love for my wife really looks like. Do we understand what our love for God and each other really should look like? Do we understand that we are to do it more and more? You know, I love each and every one of you, but I need to love you more and more. Because, see, that's Paul's exhortation to this church. I need you to love. I want you to love more and more. You should love more and more. Not be satisfied where you are. Not be content where you are. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, 7, 11, and I'd like to share that. You can flip over there with me if you'd like. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11. Verses 7 through 11. He says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I indeed count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, everything in his life he considered rubbish, except for knowing Jesus Christ. He says, for this sake I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. See, Paul counted everything as rubbish in light of Jesus Christ. Paul pursued Jesus Christ more and more and more. In fact, he says, I want to know you more and more and more in these verses. He says, everything is important when it comes to you, and everything else means nothing, nothing at all. So Paul was very passionate, about his walk with Jesus Christ, his walk with God. And He really points that out in most of his letters. Now, I'm going to take you back to Exodus, and I really want you to go there with me. I want to share these verses with you from Exodus 33. And I'm sure most all of you have read these verses before, as I have. But I think where the Holy Spirit has my heart right now, and the desire to know more and more of Jesus Christ, to hold on to Him in a way that just as the presence is there always. The presence is there always. And we know that He is with us always through the Holy Spirit. But Moses, he was quite the man. We know a lot about Moses. Moses was called to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And this kind of picks up when they're at Mount Sinai. And I want you to very carefully listen to the words as Moses and God have a conversation. Moses said to the Lord in verse 12 of chapter 33, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." Moses says, "You know, you say I'm going to lead these people, but I'm not going to do it by myself. Who are you going to send with me? You got to be sending somebody with me, right? Right, God? You're going to do that," is what's in his voice. "Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.'" He's saying, "God, I know you know me by name. You told me that. You told me that. And I've found favor in your sight. Now therefore," he says, "if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways." See, Moses says, "You know, if I found favor in your sight, I want you to show me your ways." He said, I want to know what you have for me, what you have for me. And he says this, and he says the latter part of that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. See, Moses said, "God, you know, I know you're going to send me out to lead this people of Israel, nation of Israel, out of Egypt." He says, I know you're working in my life. I know you're working in my life. Who are you going to send with me?" And he says, "I know I've found favor in your sight because you told me," but he says, I want to know you more," is really what he's saying. "I want to have your presence with me. I want to know that I have found favor in your sight." And he says in the latter part of that verse, he says, "Consider too that this nation is your people." And then he said, and then it flips over to verse 14. And verse 14 is interesting. This is God. He says back to Moses, he says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So God says, well Moses, here's the deal. My presence is going to go with you. I answered your question. Who's going to go with me? Moses asked. And God says, "I'm going to go with you. My presence will be with you." He says, "My presence will be with you, and I will give you rest." Now, if I would have been Moses, I probably would have said, "All right, Lord, I'm good. I got everything I need. I have your presence with me. I don't need any more. I'm good." I think we do that sometimes in our Christian life. I think we come to a point, you know, I have you. I'm saved. I know you, Jesus Christ. You are my Savior, and I know that, and I know you went to the cross for me. I'm good. But listen to what Moses did. See, Moses wasn't good with that. Moses said, "I want more." He said, "I want more." Listen to what Moses says. So God responds. He says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, this is Moses speaking back to God. He said to him, "If your presence will not go with me," he says, "do not bring us up from here." In other words, he says, you know, if you won't go with us, if your presence is not with us, don't bring us out of this situation we're in. He says, "I don't want it unless you're with me." He says, "For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, if you don't go with us, if your presence is not felt and seen?" It's got to be there. "It is not in your going with us so that we are distinct." He says, "So is it not your presence, you going with us, that makes us distinct among all the peoples of the world?" Is that really truly the distinction in our Christian lives? Is the presence, the light of Christ, the light of God in our lives, is that distinct from the world? And if it is, are we allowing that light to shine bright in our lives? I fail miserably in that. I fail miserably in allowing Christ's light to shine in my life. Outside of these four walls, I can do it really easy, really easy. And do I walk from here on Sunday, as I shared in Sunday school, take off my Sunday clothes and put on my world clothes and I'm done for the week? Is that what we do? I think we have a tendency to be lazy and do that in our Christian lives. And I think Paul continues to push us toward excellence, push us toward more and more in our Christian life. I believe Moses right here said, God, you know, I know you're with me. I know you know me. And I know I have your presence. But I want everything you can give me. I want all of you. He says, I want more and more. He says, show me yourself even in these verses. Show me yourself in these verses. I want to read on. Because see, he wasn't happy just with his presence. He wasn't happy knowing that he was with them. Listen to what Moses asked of God. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do. He says, for you have found favor in my sight. See, Moses had God's favor. And I know you by name. God says, I know you by name. And Moses said, and this is amazing. And Moses said, please show me your glory. Please show me. He says, your presence is with me. I know you're, I feel it. I know you're with me. But I want to see you. I want to see you. He says, I want to see your glory. Do we want to see Jesus Christ in our daily life? Do we want to see his glory? We will someday as Christians, we will see that glory. We will be with him. But we should have that desire daily in our lives to reach out and see God. He says, show me your glory. And he said, this is God, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he says, but he said, God, you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes, I will put you in the cleft of a rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. What an awesome thing. Chokes me up thinking about it. He says, then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. God says, okay, Moses, you got everything, but you want to see me? Okay, but here's the deal. You can't see my face. No man can see my face. No man can see my face. But he says, I'm going to put you on a rock. Can you imagine God saying, Guy, will you stand on this rock? And as I pass, my glory will pass over you. And I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock. And I'll put my hand over you. And then when I pass, you look, because you're going to see me, but you're going to see the backside of me. What an awesome thing. Is that not something exciting to have happen in our lives? That's Moses. He kept requesting more and more of God. And God says, yeah, no, I'm going to give you more, but there's one thing you can't have, and that's my face. But you know, when we meet him in heaven, guess what? We're going to see his glorious face. We're going to see his glorious face. That's going to be amazing. Going to be amazing. That's what we should desire in our lives, to see his face, to see his face. Moses, he wasn't satisfied. He said, show me yourself. I want you. I want you. Pretty amazing. You know, in this age of computers, you can pretty much study anything you want and have it at your fingertips, except my video this morning. Anything you want, except my video this morning. You can have it in minutes, in seconds, you know, as long as you don't have router problems or something like that. It's there. Just the other day, and this was incredible, just the other day, I was introduced from a friend of mine about an app called Night Lights. I don't know if you all know about this one. It's free. Night Lights. Put it on your laptop because it's amazing. But Night Lights, you can load it on an iPad. You can hold it to the north, and you can hold it up like this, and it will give you the whole solar system, stars and all. And when a satellite flies over, zoom, it goes by. You take and you put that iPad down like this, and it reads the other side of the world. It's telling you what's happening on the other side of the world. It's all GPS handled. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've wondered, I lay out at the Shasta Lake on a houseboat, and I look up at the stars, and I scratch my head, and I think, I think that's the Big Dipper, but I don't know. I can't wait to load this on the iPad and lay out there on the houseboat. I probably won't go to sleep. I'll be watching the stars all night. See, also, by watching those stars and having this app, I can see God's creation. I can get closer to Him because when I wonder, I don't have to wonder how it got there. I can wonder, but it's God who placed it there. That's this God that Moses is wanting more and more of. He says, I want more of you. I want you. I just don't want more. I want you, period. I want you, period. Yeah, this app is it's amazing. You got to load it. If you got a laptop, Night Lights is all you got to Google. It'll come up. It's free. You know, we can know all about almost anything today. We can even know all about God's Word. We can know all about the Bible, but we can know nothing of Him. I say that, and I know it's true. There's a young man that I know knows this word front to back better than I do, but he has absolutely no relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, he doesn't even believe in Jesus Christ. He's an atheist. He has nothing to do with God nor Jesus Christ, but he knows this better than I do because we had a conversation and he was quoting stuff that I just couldn't get up quick enough. He knows the word. See, we can know a lot of things today, but know nothing about God Himself. Know nothing about God Himself. We need to spend time with Him more and more. And the only way we're going to get to know Him is to spend time with Him more and more. We have to do it in our lives. We should do it. You know, I was corrected here a while back in Sunday school class, and I really appreciated the correction because I said we need to, and this person replied back to me, we should. We should constantly do that in our lives. We should constantly seek God more and more in our lives. You know, Moses, again, he wasn't content with just knowing that God was with him. He wanted to see Him, show me Your glory. He wanted more and more of God. Charles Spurgeon, I know I've quoted him before. I want to share something that Charles Spurgeon wrote early in his Christian life. He wrote these words, I thank Thee that which is a necessity of my new life, his new life in Christ, is also its greatest delight. So I do at this hour feed on Thee. You know, he says, you know, I feed on You. I'm constantly taking You in. I feed on You. Do we feed on God and His Word? Do we allow the Spirit to fill us? And then once we think we're full, say to Him, I want more. I need more. I need to know You more. See, I desire to know God more. I need to allow Him to grow me and grow me in who I am in Christ. I got to share with you that many years ago, while we were first started attending this church, Dixie and I were involved in a fellowship. It was a home fellowship, actually part of the church. It was quite a few years ago, and there's a number of people that attended that. that fellowship, that study. I know, so I was probably maybe a year, not even possibly a year, going to Sial Baptist Church. And I say this carefully, I was born and raised a really good, strong Christian, not Christian, Catholic boy. I served communion when I was this big and was confirmed when I was this big and, you know, went to Catholic school till I was probably fifth or sixth grade. Thought I had everything I needed, right? So I went, and Dixie and I attended this this fellowship, this home fellowship, and it was interesting. There was a mix of people there. There were some people there that I know very well today and are dear and close to me today. There were some people there that I looked around and I thought, what are they doing here? And I'm sure that they all looked around at me and said, what's he doing here? I don't doubt that at all, but I originally went, I believe this is my heart, I think this is what the Spirit said, I originally went to find out what those goofy Christians are all about. You know, it's been said, and I think I wrote it down in my notes, what's the big deal about Christianity? I was slowly answered that question in my own heart and my own life. I met people there that we built relationship with. We grew in the Lord. We still have those lasting relationships with many of them, but a lot of them have gone their separate ways to different places. God has moved them for a purpose in their lives. And I believe God moves us in our lives where He wants us to be. He doesn't just let us set in one spot. See, we can get lethargic in one spot. We can get comfortable in one spot. But God says, no, I need to grow you. You need to desire more of me. I'm going to take you and maybe move you someplace else because I got something else I want you to do over here. And that's okay. We understand that, and we should understand that as this church family. But going through this study, we spent some time together studying God's Word, and we built a lot of relationships, really good relationships, and each with each other and with God. And we come to know Him more in our lives through this time. But really a point of this whole thing really stands out to me, and I'll never forget this. We spent a weekend together in Central Oregon. We rented a house over there. We don't know anything about the person that owned the house. We tried to decipher whether they were a Christian or not by what was hanging on the walls and what was in you know, the cabinetry. And I was pretty nosy, so I looked a lot of different places, you know. We weren't sure whether they were Christian or not. We weren't sure what they were made of. You know, but we had the house and we enjoyed ourselves. But we spent some time as we were getting ready to leave this house, and we gathered around. We spent some time in prayer, and I'll never forget this prayer. This young lady, I'm not sure where she's at right now. I believe she was a single lady at the time. I was new in my Christian walk, and as we stood around together holding hands and praying, this woman prayed for this group and with this group, a prayer that just is stuck in my heart. And she prayed, as she prayed, she says, God, Father, she says, as we leave here, she says, as we depart from this house today, I pray that a little aroma of You will be left behind. You ever thought about that? A little aroma of You left behind. Do we smell of God? Do we have a fragrant of God in our lives outside of this room, outside of this building? I think we should have. I think it's important that we do. 2 Corinthians 2:14-15, it talks about the fragrance of knowledge everywhere, and it talks about the aroma of Christ to God. I want us to flip over there, because I don't want you to believe me. I want you to read Scripture and see what Scripture says about it. But there is an aroma and there is a fragrant that we should have in our Christian lives. But 2 Corinthians 2:14-15 specifically, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrant of the knowledge of Him, the fragrant, the smell of Him in our lives. Everywhere we go, he says, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrant from death to death, to another, a fragrant from life to life. I want to know, do we smell like Christ? Do we have that aroma in our lives? You know, a fragrant that's soft and gentle to smell. I love the smell of roses. And there's some roses, when you walk by them, they catch you just like that. I would hope our lives reflect a fragrant that when we walk by people, they smell Jesus Christ. They smell God. And that we leave that aroma no matter where we go. You know, as I share here this morning, you know, there are men in the Bible who desired God in a powerful way. Paul was one of them. Moses was one of them. Abraham was one of them. There's many, many more men that desired God. Men of history desired God. Mr. Spurgeon was a man who desired God. He strove hard. He worked hard. He constantly studied to know God more. And I think his life reflected it. I'm not just saying you, I'm saying me. Do I desire more of God in my life? I have to ask the question, and I think I already said it. When did we get so easily satisfied with the Lord? When did we get so easily satisfied with the Lord? The teenage or 20-plus girl that I shared in the video, when the light went out, when she had enough, why? What brought her to that point? What brings us to the point in our Christian life where we have enough, that we don't need no more? Are we living? Am I living before the face of God? You know, we should live before the face of God all of our lives, every day, every moment. We should stand before him knowing that he will pass us by just as he did Moses. His glory will pass by us. He will be with us. He is present with us through the Holy Spirit. Am I seeking his presence in my life? Not hiding, not hidden before him? I think we can hide before Christ. You know, it's really easy. And I say very carefully, it's really easy for me to be Christ-like in the presence of each and every one of you. I can be the prodigal son. I can be the most Christ-like man you've seen for an hour and a half. And if I walk out of these doors and I turn into someone else that I am not here now, then I am a hypocrite and a liar, and I am slapping God in the face. See, you see me as I am today, a sinner, through the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am going to progressively walk that ladder of sanctification and be in his presence one day, perfected when I stand with him. And that should be the goal of our lives. We should always understand that we are sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. Romans is full of it. Not one of us is justified, or not one of us has not sinned, but we are all justified through the power of God in our lives, through Jesus Christ on the cross. We have the truth. We have the truth. We have him. We have his word and we have him. We don't need new truths, and we have the old truths, and we need to continue to seek to excel more and more in his truth, in his word. We need to put it on and wear it. That breastplate that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, and the helmet of salvation. See, it's not like my Sunday clothes that I take off when I get home. We leave those on all the time. We don't take those off. We leave them on. We leave them on because we need to leave them on. And we need to wear them proudly as Christian men and women. And we need to press on to greater experiences of the old truths that he's given us. See, seek to see God's glory as Moses did. We can't shrink back. Mike preached last week, we need to be steadfast, firm where we are. But we need to seek him more and more. Don't shrink back. Seek to see God's glory as Moses did. And ask God for more and more. See, God wants us to ask Him for more and more. I'm going to read one other verse here from Romans 28. Or a few verses from Romans 28. And I'm sure many of you are very familiar with this. But I'm going to read verses 28 through 30 of Romans. 28 through 30. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, see, you and I are called according to God's purpose. It was not an accident. It is not an accident that you're here today. You are called for God's purpose. You are called for God's purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. See, I'll go back. God, Your presence, it's okay, but it's not enough. I want You. I want You. I want more of You. I want to know You. See, we are predestined to be conformed to His image. To His image. In order that He might be the firstborn among the brothers, and those whom He possessed, predestined He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified. See, it doesn't matter how bad my life is. On the cross, He paid for my sins, and through His blood, I am justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. See, God is at work in our lives. No one can take that away from us. We have the cross, and the cross, as I shared with you 3 weeks ago, should be everything in our lives. Jesus Christ and the cross. So we have a promise. We are called according to His purpose to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those whom He predestined, He called. Those whom He called, He also justified. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. See, I'm a dreadful sinner. I stumble most every day in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't let Satan take me down because of that sin. I rally back and I say to God, I need You more. I put on that breastplate, that shield, and that helmet. And I draw from Him. I seek Him in my life. And yes, I'm not proud of my sins, but I know I'm a sinful man and I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall very short of the glory of God as I walk this earth. But we have Him, the Holy Spirit, working in our lives. He wants us to desire more and more of Him. And we will walk that ladder of sanctification. We will progress in our Christian lives. We will be a light that the world can see. And it's not our light, it's His light. So I share with you this morning, seek Him more and more. Be Moses. Say, Lord, that's not enough. I want to see Your face. I want to see Your face. I want to see You now. Let's be Moses in our lives and be bold enough and have faith enough. Charles Spurgeon said that is probably the most astounding faith of any man he's ever read about. To have the faith to ask God to see your face. Can we have that faith in our lives? Can we desire to know Him more and more? And can we seek to see Him in our lives? And I think if we do, we'll see Him work more and more in our lives. So this morning as I close, I don't know if the worship team, you guys coming back up? Worship team can come back up. And as we do close, and as I shared with you 3 weeks ago, the cross, Jesus Christ, His blood and body for us, He says, you know, come to the table. And when you come to the table, we're not just eating bread and dipping wine. We're remembering what He did on that cross. And He shed His blood and His body for you and I. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. it's done. It's over. Jesus Christ, our sins are taken, borne by Him. So as we come this morning, again, come and partake together and do it in remembrance of what He did on the cross for you and I. So I'll pray and we can go. Father God, I thank You for this day. And Lord, I thank You for how You have worked in our lives. And Lord, You know my heart. You know my passion to know You more and more. Lord, to be able to stand on the rock next to You as You pass over would be an awesome thing in my life. And Lord, I know that one day I will be in Your presence, and I thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for the cross. I thank You for Your blood, Your body sacrificed for me, Lord, so that I can have a life of eternity with You in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, again, I thank You for this time. I thank You for how You have worked in our lives. And I just pray that as we leave here today, Lord, that we desire to see You, to know You, and that we do it more and more in our lives. So, Father, again, I thank You for this time and give You the glory and honor for all of it in Your name.